But this morning we have the great privilege of having Jody Baitza here this morning. Come on up, Jody. Jody and her husband Augustine, they've been missionaries in Mexico. You've been there for 25 years, a long time. Yeah, and believe it or not, Jody's a native to Cumberland Beach. They have two awesome kids. One of them is coming soon this week. Yeah, so they've been doing ministry, church planning, all sorts of awesome stuff. It's definitely not your first time speaking here. You brought a group of ladies last time. That was amazing. If you missed the ministry and the food they made, it was amazing. So we're looking forward to what you have to say. Can I pray for you before you get started? Okay. Jesus, we bless Jody. I thank you so much for the call and the passion in her life for you. Lord, I thank you that your word burns in her, Lord. It brings her to life, and it causes her to go out and give her life for the kingdom, for your ministry, Jesus. I pray that you would just equip her and use her to encourage us, to challenge us, and to bring us that word, Lord, that dispels the lies, that cuts us to the very middle of our bones, to reveal things to us and to change us. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen.
Hi. I hope you guys are doing well today. And I guess, first of all, I need just to bring a greeting from Mexico on behalf of Augustine and my family. And from the ladies, they said, we don't want you to go, but if you have to go, please tell the church that we love them and we're so grateful still and we love them and we just remember all of the things that we did with them. So I wanted to let you know that. That they're praying for you, and I ask that you continue to pray for them as well. We know that sometimes life gets in the way, doesn't it, of many things. And so there's our greeting. And I'm just so excited and that I'm here today because I flew in yesterday. I arrived here in Cumberland Beach at 2 o'clock in the morning or so, and I'm excited. I'm excited because God has new things. I was sharing with the ladies actually the other day, and I said, isn't it amazing that the new things that God has today have never been seen before? That yesterday they didn't exist, and what he has planned for you today is completely new for you and for everyone else. And so it's amazing. It's amazing for me that I'm able to be in Canada. I told my son, Ethan, it seems surreal that the other day I was in Mexico and then today I'm in Canada. I don't know why, but this time it just seems so strange, like I'm in a dream or something. And yes, it could be, yes, that we were in the sunshine and now we're in the extreme cold. Yes. Anyways, I did bring my little Chihuahua dog with me and she is not liking the snow. I'm also very excited because what we just participated in is something that we should be so overjoyed about because it is more than just eating a little piece of bread and drinking a little bit of juice or wine, isn't it? Like, it's a whole life promised, an abundant life, a joyful life, an eternal life. It's just life in itself that is promised to us and that we can take hold of today. We don't have to wait until tomorrow or next year, that we can take hold of it today and we can enjoy it. Because that's what Jesus died on the cross for, so that we would be filled with the life that he's given to us and the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? And you know, it just so often in Mexico, soccer is a great big thing, right? Here it's hockey, of course. But when you're at a game and there's a goal from your team, what is it that you do? Like, you celebrate and you rejoice. So I just want to ask you guys, can we just give a hand to the Lord this morning? It's very little. Yeah. God, thank you so much. He is so amazing. And you know, our life should be so joyful, like every day. It should be just like that because we're on the winning team and the end has already been seen right from the very beginning. Isn't that amazing? That the end of the story is victory for you and for me. And it doesn't matter what we're going through today. We're on a road. We're on a process. We're on the way. We're not at the destiny yet, right? And so God is good. So I want to share a few things. I was asking the Lord, Pastor Steve asked me a few weeks ago to share with you guys this morning. And I've been asking the Lord here and there. And this week, just as I was actually in my kitchen making rice and the Lord started to speak to my heart. And so I'm excited about what he shared with me. Can you open your Bibles, please, in Mark 5, if you have your Bibles with you, if you have your phone or whatever it is that you use. to read the word. We're going to look at Mark 5. And it's an impressive story that we see here, but it's a story that's prevalent even in our day today and in real life right now. So I'd like for us to read just a little bit about the story of the demon-possessed man here in Mark 5, starting at verse 1. It says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." When Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legions, by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and begged to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. All right. So this story of the man from the Gerasenes is amazing to me. It's amazing because, first of all, so often in our lives there are areas that are isolated, that are... I know that the word here talks about him being demon-possessed. And I'm not saying necessarily that we're demon-possessed, but I know that in our hearts there are so many things that make us isolate ourselves. I don't know about you, but there are times when there are things in my own heart that I say, "Okay, God, I don't like this," but it's like I'm stuck there. You know, has that happened to you? Like you're stuck there and you isolate yourself. And we talked a little bit, Steve and I, about cultures and about how in Mexico everything's so open and celebrant and everything's a fiesta, right? And in Canada, things are a little different. And in our culture, sometimes we like to say, "I'm fine, I'm just great," you know, and you have this great big smile on your face, but then nobody really knows what's going on inside. Right? And it's part of our culture. It's part of who we are. And you know, sometimes we do that even in what we're doing also with the Lord. So as I looked at this, I was saying, "God, how often do I hide things in my heart?" And even before you, I want to hide those things. I want to say, "I'm fine. I'm good. Everything's all right. And we're doing okay." But yet there are areas sometimes that are chained and that help us to be enveloped, actually, in death. It says that he was among the tombs, which is areas where they would, that they would put their dead, right? So, as I was reading this, the Lord was speaking to me, and he brought me to another story in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I don't know if you know about the story of the commander, the Syrian commander called Naaman. Do you remember that story? He came to Elisha because he was covered in leprosy, and he was looking for a place to be cured. There was a girl that lived at his house, and she was a servant girl, and she was from Israel, amazing enough as that is. And so she was the one that brought a word that said, there's somebody that can heal you. There's a God who can touch you and he can heal you. And so she spoke to him about the prophet in Israel. And he came to Elisha. And when he got to Elisha's house and he was there with his chariots and his horses and all sorts of things, his servants, and he brought a great big gift for Elisha as well at that time. But you know what? When he got there to Elisha's house, Elisha didn't even come out of the house. He didn't even come out of the house. And so he sent a servant and he said to the servant, tell Naaman to go and to bathe 7 times in the Jordan and he will be healed. And so Naaman went away and said, isn't the other rivers where we come from cleaner? Couldn't I have just gone to those places and cleaned myself there? Why would I come here? He didn't even attend to me. He didn't even come out of the door to say hello to me. And there was one of his servants that was there, and I think that he was a pretty wise man, because he said to Naaman, he said, do you know what? If he had asked you to do something more difficult, would you have done it? If he had asked you to do something more difficult, would you have done it? If you had to pay something big, would you have done it? And as I was thinking about these things, I was thinking, yes, how often do we have to, when we're trying to fix something in our lives and we have to pay something or we have to go somewhere and we do some great sacrifice, but yet at the same time, when the Lord asks us to do something simple, it seems to be more difficult. Yeah? Isn't it? So at that point, this servant says to him, if he had asked you to do something more difficult, wouldn't you have done it? And he kind of came into the realization and said, yeah, what if I get muddy? All right, I'm going to try it. Let's do it. And the story says that he was healed from leprosy. And as I was reading and putting both of these two stories together, I was saying, Lord, the condition of humanity is so difficult. Our human nature is what chains us to ourselves. And when we stand in what we're living and we're saying, I don't like this, I don't like what's going on in my heart, there's so many things that are going on, but God, couldn't you have asked me to do something different? And we look to somebody else or we look to something else that can help us to free us from those things. Do you know, the Lord said in his word that where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Humanity in itself, in our pride and our sin nature, we cannot do it for ourselves. But so often, we're still stuck in that area. I don't know about you, but so often I have to come back to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, God, because I'm trying to do it on my own. And when I try to do it on my own, I go back to those areas like that demon-possessed man. I go back to those areas where I'm chained and where I'm living in death instead of the life that God wants to give to me. And where I'm living as a slave instead of a free person, like the Holy Spirit and the death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection has brought to me. The condition of humanity is slavery to sin. And as I was reading through all of those things, and I was thinking, God, you know, so often when we look at these things and we say, the sin in our lives is a bondage to us. And I was asking God, I said, God, will you just show me more about that? Because as we were looking and I was studying about sin and about how in the original Greek language, sin is actually not being able to... My English is mixing up with my Spanish, so I'm having a little bit of a difficulty here. Bear with me. So it was when they were doing archery, they would let an arrow go, and if it didn't get to the bullseye, that was the word I was looking for. If it didn't get to the bullseye, then that was the word sin. It didn't get to the right place. Right? And so as I was looking at that and thinking, I was thinking, God, thank you that because if we sin in our hearts, in our lives, we didn't get to where we should have gone. But there is no condemnation. Isn't it? That's so different than the way often that the church has thought or taught in the past. You're a sinner. And you feel condemned. And you feel, wow, I can't get out of this place. But the Lord said in his word that he has freed us from that sin. And if we can understand that we haven't reached the place, then that means we have to stand up, ask forgiveness, and try again. Isn't that true? If God had asked us to do something more difficult, would we have done it? What has the Lord asked of us as his children? To love him first, to read his word, to study his word, and to understand what it is that he wants for us to do. What is it the Lord has in store for you and me? What is the end story? What is the end game? What is it that he has already planned and purposed ahead of us? Does he have anything but blessings and life and goodness and eternal life with him and a relationship and power and freedom? Is there anything else that God has planned for you than that? Or me? No. God has planned the very best of things for you and I. How much of it do we trust in him, though? Do we believe that he has our well-being in mind? Do we know that God has already planned all of this out for us? Are we in the midst of that area in our hearts and our lives, maybe like Naaman, who had a problem in his body, in his skin, and he was looking for healing, and he couldn't find it anywhere else? And he was ready to pay with anything. He was ready to give anything. Could we be like the demon-possessed man who was in a certain way, chained, paralyzed, to be able to go on and to be able to succeed in his life, isolated or isolating himself from everyone else, living in death instead of the life that God has for us? Or are we living in the freedom that he has already given? And you know what? As we come to him and as we begin to ask him again and say, God, move in these areas. Forgive me, God. There is a new freedom that comes. I want to read one more verse from John. John chapter 8. The word of God says that where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Here in John chapter 8. Let me start at verse 34. It says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in this family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. When the people around the man from the Gerasenes, when they saw him and he was demon-possessed, it became normal to them. It was normal to know that he was there. They would chain him up. They would do things. They would understand that he was there and that he was like that. It was normal. That's scary, isn't it? Yet in our world today, it's normal. It's normal. And so when Jesus came along and he set this man free and he was now in his right mind and sitting with Jesus and he was fully clothed, doesn't that resemble us? That when we come to the Lord in repentance and say, God, there's this area in my life and I want to just be real with you because you've already seen it right from the very beginning. You know it. There's nothing that I can hide from God. A lady in Mexico one time said to me, she said, do you think that if I complain to God, that's not good? What if I get angry and I shout when I speak to God? I said, you know what? He already knows what's in your heart. It's a little bit more ugly than what we say sometimes. So if he already knows what you're going to say right before you're going to say it, don't worry. Be real with God. Open up your heart, because that freedom that God wants you to experience day in and day out, the victory that he wants to take you from victory to victory. He doesn't want you to stay the same. He loves you so much that he's going to accept you the way that you are, but he's not going to let you remain the same. Because when you come into the Lord, he's going to bring a freedom in you that will take you out of bondage, out of those dark death places, and he will bring you into a freedom in those areas that you didn't expect. And I know that this message is a message of salvation, and maybe it's a message that we know, but it's a reminder message. Because even if we're 30, 50, 60 years in the things of the Lord, I don't know about you, but I'm still human. And there are still some things, and there are still some thoughts, and there are still some attitudes, and there might be even things from the past that are just coming out today. But as they do, what do you do with them? Do you allow them to isolate you in one area or another? Do you allow them to chain you up? Do you allow them to take you back the way that you came, like Naaman was going to do? The only thing that the Lord asks is that we would seek him first. I don't know about you, but there are some things that I tell my kids, and I say, you know what I'm asking you is not that difficult. You guys ever had that conversation? It's not a difficult thing. What you're doing now is going to help you tomorrow. Right? And you know, I think that that's God's nature in us. Because what he's asking us to do today is bringing you to the joy that you need, the freedom that you need, that I need today and tomorrow, to help us to come to that place of glory, because that's what Jesus died on the cross for. And if we leave it bound, if we leave our lives bound, then that's very sad, because then the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was in vain in our lives. And that's very sad, isn't it? I want to be able to rejoice, and maybe I should say, like Paul, I'm the very first sinner right here. I'm the biggest one. You know, that's what I want. And we struggle daily. And we have to get over those thoughts in our own minds and those things. And you know, one of the biggest problems, I think, is that we wait. And we leave it there. And we ponder it. And we let it over and over and over and over. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. God wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring freedom in your heart that you've never known before. And there are areas, I kid you not, there are always areas that God needs you to give up from your heart, from your mind, and in your daily life, so that he can bring that true freedom. Because we no longer need to be slaves to sin. We are not condemned. If we make a mistake, if what is going on in our lives doesn't bring us to the bull's eye, to the place where God has for us to be at this point, and we understand that what we've done is not correct, then the only thing that we need to do is to stand up, ask for forgiveness, and continue forward. Because that forgiveness is what's going to bring the power of the Holy Spirit back into our lives to be able to guide us again, to be right on path again. You know, it's so important. Our reliance and our complete faith, our complete surrender in the Lord, is so important. Because, you know, my neighbor, the person that's next to me, is not going to be able to bring me that freedom. I'm just realizing that as we're parents, there are different stages that we go through. And when our kids are little, oh my goodness, it's a challenge. And there are all sorts of things that go on, and we have to teach them and going through all sorts of things, right? But now that my kids have gone through teenage years and they're getting to a place where they have to decide on their own, I look back and think, oh man, it would be nice that they were little again. You know, when they were little, I was thinking, wow, when they get older, it's going to be so cool because we can play together, we can do some things together. And I'm looking back and thinking, oh man, they have to make their own decisions now, and what am I going to do, right? And so, and I look at those things, and I think, oh God, how do you, when you look at me, what do you think? And that struggle, and my son, this is the most awful things for ministry kids, missionary kids, and pastors' kids, because everything that you say will be used when your mom or dad are preaching in the church. So don't tell them that I told you. But but he said to me the other day, he said, I just wish that somebody would have the answer and that it would just work. Anybody with him on that? I just want somebody to have the answer. Yeah, can somebody have an answer? But you know, in the same way, no one else can have the answer. The answer lies in me because God has already given me everything that I need for life. Do you know that you are not lacking for anything? You are not. We are not lacking in anything from what the Bible says. I don't know. On the little page that we were given this morning from Hope, I don't have it right here in front of me, but it says at the top of there, thank you. I was just reading it. It says, where it has after my name there, it says, I believe the Bible. It is the word of God, and every word of God is true. Will you say this with me? I don't know. If you believe this, will you say this with me right now? Let's read it together. If you don't worry. It's not an obligation. But it says this. It says, I believe the Bible. It is the word of God, and every word of God is true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And where what the Bible says is different from my life, I will change. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the word of God is true. And if you need to know who you are, you need to speak to your maker. He made you for a reason. He knows what you're good for. He knows how you work. He knows you by name. He knows you by each and every cell in your body. He knows you. And he knows that you're good. That he put potential in you to get to be able to fulfill the purpose that he has planned for your life. No one else can fulfill that purpose except for you. Everything that it says that you can do, you can do. Everything that says that you are, you are. But until we have the freedom of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, will we truly understand that? In the normalcy of the demon-possessed man, when the people came and they saw him sitting beside Jesus and he was dressed, and he was in his right mind. Do you remember what it said, how they felt? What brought fear to their hearts? He was in his right mind. He was coherent. He was understanding. He was calm. He was at peace. His life was back in order. He was fully clothed. That's exactly what Jesus wants to do in your life and my life. Fully clothe us when we come to him and we repent of the things that are going on in our hearts and our minds, we're made new creatures. We already know that. But he clothes us again with the mantle of Jesus. And the amazing thing is that he no longer sees this sin man, this person. He no longer sees Jody, but he sees the blood of Jesus and the mantle of Jesus and the death and resurrection and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross over me. And he brings us to the freedom that we need. Only Jesus, only through the Holy Spirit, only through the Lord can we have a right mind and a whole healing. Only through him. The people around us are on the road with us. They're also going along the way. They're not at their destiny also. They're here to pray with us, to work with us, to see the blessings of God moving in us, and for us to bless them in the same way. But only Jesus, only the Lord, can bring a right mind to us. He can put us in our right mind and give us whole healing. Amen? So, just like it says in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first his kingdom, and then what? Mm-hmm. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added on. All of these things will be added on. He wants us to love him first, to seek him first. It's not so hard. It's not a hard thing that he's asking us. And you know, the rewards are freedom, success, fullness, power, authority, so much more. But if we allow the original sin of pride in our hearts to get in the way, we won't see those things. And the worst of it is that often when we're in that situation, we're isolated, we look at other people and we say, man, I wish I could be like that. Mm-hmm. I wish that my life would be free and that I would be joyful and that I would be happy and that I would be, right? And we look at things from a different way and we forget about what the Lord has already said over us and about us. So we need to break with that pride because only God has the answer. Only God has the answer. He's the one that's made us and he's created us. And he's given us life eternally, abundantly, joyfully. He has given us freedom, and he is ready today to walk with us and to see great things happen. Amen? So I'd like to ask you to stand with me, please, just for a few moments. Thank you, Lord. You know, it was him that made us, not us ourselves, like the word says. And there's most times I have to say, God, what I know or what I think I know is not better than what you say. You are the authority. I give you back the authority. I want you to be the king. That's when things change. But when we think everything is okay, we can look back over history and the history of the word that's written. Satan, when he thought that, fell. Adam and Eve, when they thought that, fell. Humanity fell. So today, just as a response to the Lord, I'd like you to meditate in your heart and just, why don't we ask the Lord and just say, God, if there's a pride in me, I ask you just to take it. Maybe we need to ask for forgiveness today. I don't know. The Lord gave me this word, and He knew who was going to be here today. And he knows your heart and he knows my heart. And he knows the areas that are going on, the things that are going through our minds and the attitudes. And he knows the areas that we've already had freedom in. And he knows the areas that still need work. And so even just today, I'd just like to invite you to respond to the Lord, not to me, because anyone else could have been here today to speak. But I'd like to ask you, or to invite you, just to respond to the Lord today. Just to be real with him today and just say, God, maybe you're in a place right now where you can just say, thank you, God, for your freedom, that I'm walking in your freedom and in your fullness, and I've understood. Thank you, God, that right now I'm understanding that part. But maybe you're not going through that right now. Maybe you feel like you need something. Maybe you don't feel like your heart is full. Maybe you feel like you're empty inside, even though you've known the Lord, even though you come to church. I don't know what areas are needy in your life. But if the Lord gave this word to me, it's for a reason. And I think that if it's touched your heart, or if it's pulled some strings in your heart today, just respond to him today. And just, whether it's repenting, just saying, God, I thought I knew how, but I need your wisdom today. Maybe it's, God, I haven't been seeking you the way that I should. I don't know. Maybe it's, God, I want to get closer to you. Or God, there's areas in my life, there's habits and things in my life that are not pleasing to you, and they're not even pleasing to me, but they're still there and I need some help. You know what? God wants to bring freedom today. God wants to bring complete freedom. He doesn't want us to be a slave any longer. He doesn't want you to be stuck in that place. He wants you to be living in life. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love and your life and your joy and your freedom. Thank you that you have not held anything back from those who come to you. Thank you because, Lord, all who come to you, Lord God, you draw us close to you. Father, your hand is so strong, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is nothing lacking in you, and there is nothing lacking in us because you have given us everything that we need. The only thing that we've needed, Father, to complete what you've already placed in us is you. And so, Father, you have given us that also through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. God, there is absolutely nothing. And so, Father, may we have the revelation, the understanding of how great, how wide, how deep, how tall, how great is your love for us. That we would have the revelation and the understanding of your word as we read it. In our relationship with you, God, may it every day be more real. Thank you, God, that you have brought us out of the darkness and into your marvelous light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.